You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Someone has said that anyone who expects to live must accept life as a risk.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, thanks to you for Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. Give us faith to accept him as our Savior and to see him as our Lord. Help us to hear his voice and follow him, that we too may have eternal life through him. In his saving name we pray. Amen. A television program ran for several years in the United States called The Untouchables. It was about gangland characters who presumably were beyond the reach of the law. As it turned out in almost every program, they were very much within the reach of the law. What is more, they were very much in reach of each other, and they seemed to have a penchant for killing each other off. The point of the whole show was that there aren't any untouchables. Oh, yes, there are. They aren't gangsters. And they are not out trying to find ways of getting around the law. They are described by our Lord as his company, following him as sheep belong and go along with their shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. A friend of mine read these words to some people the other day. He asked them for their immediate reaction. One of them said right away, "You know, that's very comforting." It is more than that. It is positively assuring. It puts something new into life that was not there before. Someone has said that anyone who expects to live must accept life as a risk. There's some truth to that. Life is a risk. Having a baby is a risk. After he is born, the first day of that baby's life is a risk. So is every other day. Going off to school is a risk. Getting married is a risk. Going into business is a risk. There's hardly anything in life you can think of that doesn't constitute some sort of risk. Is there anything you can really count on in life? A long life, for example, perpetual health, a trouble-free marriage, uninterrupted happiness. Can anybody dictate the terms of his existence? Can anyone make foolproof decisions? Can you be sure of anything in this world? There's one thing a lot of people are sure of. You can't be sure of anything. They wish it were otherwise, but that's the way it is. How fine it would be to be on top of things instead of under the gun all the time. If only we could be in command instead of being ordered around and told what to do. If only we could determine for ourselves what life is going to be instead of having the whole thing determined for us by circumstances and events beyond our control. That's what takes the joy and adventure out of living. There are different ways of handling the uncertainties of life. One is to conclude that they are here to stay, and there's not very much you can do about the situation. So you just resign yourself to whatever may come. You shoot high, but you end up being satisfied with what you get, with what happens to fall in your direction. You ride with your luck as long as you can. You play games with fate, but what you're really doing is conceding defeat. Another way that is becoming increasingly popular is simply to refuse to acknowledge the reality of things as they are, especially those that oppose you. There isn't anything like temptation, failure, or disappointment. There isn't any evil and no sin. If they do exist in others, they won't happen to you. Nothing can hurt you. Nobody is going to touch you as long as you have a good grip on yourself. You can outfox evil and maybe even death. You can take on all comers. And then reality catches up with you, and the confrontation becomes more terrible than it would have been if you had lived openly with it all the time. There's one more way to take the risks of life. It is taking another risk, the risk of faith. I'm not talking about any old kind of faith, as if faith itself were the answer. I am not just telling you, have faith. That would be as misleading and as devastatingly futile as telling you to hide your head in the sand. When I talk about faith, I mean faith in God. That's different from every other kind of faith. Of course, if God does not exist or God doesn't care, faith in him would be just as futile as anything else. I am persuaded that God does exist. I don't have to argue you into believing that. Any intelligent man can see that. Why spend time arguing about something that everybody deep down in his heart already knows? I'm persuaded that God cares. That's something about which a lot of people need to be convinced. They don't really believe it to be true. Some of them would like to believe it, but they can't bring themselves to do so. Others say they believe it, but they are not at all sure. Still others say they are sure, but you can tell by the way they live that they aren't really. If they believed that God cares, they themselves would be different. I have good reason for knowing that God cares, and so have you. The reason is plainly and simply Jesus Christ. In him, God. In him, God reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. If that's true, really true, God cares. I know some of you may be wondering whether all this talk about Jesus Christ is really true. You've heard people talk about the historical Jesus as if he were one man, and the religious or theological Jesus as if he were someone else. The idea somehow got around that the disciples of Jesus and others since that time have made him out to be somebody that he really was not. Now, I take him just as you find him in the New Testament. His men talked about him as a real man who talked with them, walked with them, ate with them, and was one of them. We were with him, they said, and this is the way he was. Being with Jesus made them different people. They were different from what they had been. Other people noticed it. They spoke of his authority, and they acted by his authority. People took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. That made a difference. Big enough to be noticeable by anybody. These men knew Jesus and had faith in him. They were still men having to take the risks of life just as anyone else does. But they had faith in Jesus. They believed him when he said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." These men knew privation and peril. They were not deluded into thinking that knowing Jesus meant nothing in life would ever touch them. They did not take his words to mean that there would not be any more risks in life. What they had was hope. Hope that comes from faith in him. No matter what comes, they said, "This is what he said, and we believe him. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." This is faith in Jesus. With all of our vulnerability to the risks of life, Jesus has his untouchables. The woes of life will not overcome them. The pull of humanity toward its own destruction will not claim them. They will not perish. He will see to that, because he is Lord and he is Savior. The followers of Jesus do not escape the perils of living. I'm no different from anyone else. I'm touchable, vulnerable, and scratchable. Like everybody else, I'm caught up in the struggle of life. Pain and risk attend the lives of the people of Jesus every inch of the way. There are no absolute guarantees about being spared anything, including the peril of death. Life itself is a grim reality for us all. Those of us who follow Jesus find very little in ourselves or in our world to convince us that we are progressing to the point that the shocks of life will no longer touch us. We are sinners, just as everyone else is. We need forgiveness just as much as anyone else. We have a sense of guilt like that of everyone else in the world. But Jesus makes everything different. Jesus died, not for himself, but for me. He died for you. I believe that. I believe that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the substitutionary sacrifice, the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I believe that. And that makes everything different. I am touchable, very touchable. I can be touched by temptation as much as anyone else. I can yield to temptation as well as anyone else. But there is Jesus. He died and was raised from the dead. He has been declared to be the Son of God with power. He is Lord. He can do anything, even for me. He can carry me through as I go with him. To him I yield myself, and on him I depend. That's faith. It is faith not in myself, but in him. He is the living Son of God, and my faith in him is not misplaced. Faith in Jesus Christ is a far cry from the thing many people call faith. When you get right down to it, a lot of those people really believe in themselves. God is obligated to protect them from all the cruel realities of life simply because they believe in him and try to please him. When they are knocked down by the winds of trouble, they become bewildered. They counted on God to deliver them, and the whole thing backfired. That's a hard thing to take, especially when you thought that he was going to take care of you. The moment we take the words of God and fashion them into a security all our own, a shining fortress where we are untouchable and invulnerable, we are really no longer living by faith. Faith doesn't have everything figured out. It does not refuse the risk or turn from the peril. It just focuses on God and lets him have his way. That's the way of Jesus himself. My Father, who has given these faithful people to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's a tremendous statement. If true, it makes all the difference in the world. The Father is the Creator, and his Son is the Redeemer of the world. If he says, no one will snatch them out of my hand, he has something going for him that nobody else has. Going with him takes faith, real faith. But that turns the perils of life into the promise of life, which is truly untouchable. Can you believe that? I'm here to say you can. You can believe, as I do, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. God gives faith, as only he can give it. Ask God for faith to believe, because that's what it takes to enjoy the promise of life. People came and asked Jesus what they had to do in order to do the works of God. He replied, "Believe on him whom God has sent." That's not easy. It takes power, real power, power from on high, the power of God's Spirit entering into your spirit and saying to you, "You are a son of God." And he cares. That's real faith. It's not the kind of thing that you leave in the parking lot after a church service or in the pew rack with the hymnal. You take it out with you into everyday life, and there it goes to work. It's a constant thing, like breathing. It's not just taking a deep breath now and then, but the regular breathing that goes on from minute to minute, making up the hours and the days. It's a regular part of life, bringing the promise of life all the time. If it is like that, you begin to get what the Lord was talking about. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There is no false security here. No utopian scheme, no religious fantasy. This is the stuff of which life is made, the kind of thing that takes the shocks of life in stride. It is faith in the living Lord who makes the claim with complete composure, I and the Father are one. Our Lord is not saying that his followers will never be touched by sin or by death. Man, it has already touched you. Sheep get lost, but his do not. That's the promise. He won't let it happen because he is Lord. He understands the risks of human life. He took all of that himself. He went through the mill. He was touchable, vulnerable, and scratchable. What else does that cross of his mean? He died. Not out of desperation or resignation. I guess you could say he died in faith, unconquerable faith, that he was the Son of the Father and that the Father would not let him down. I and the Father are one, he said. He offers the promise of life to everyone who goes with him in faith. He is faithful to you. He's faithful to all his people. You can take him for your own. He will be faithful to you without end. He didn't take all of that guilt, all of that sin, all of that fear into his own heart on his cross. For nothing. He is Savior and he is Lord. This is the word of God. It is his word to you. Listen to what Jesus says to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. These are the untouchables in this world of ours. They are his people, listening to him, learning from him, and looking constantly to him amid the perils of life, with the glowing and never-ending promise of life. Full of the faith and love that come from him and make up the fullness of life. Amen.